heavyweight champion of the world, Sarg! And joining us right now at PMP Network is Rich Reno. He, of course, is from Stars, and you might remember them. I'll tell you one thing I remember was their album Violation, and, of course, Hit Parader called it one of the greatest albums of all time, one of the top 100 hard rock albums of all time. And they had great some tracks in there. I remember the like, Rock Six Times and Sing It, Shout It, but many people remember the single that came off of it called Cherry Baby. And they have found a place in Billboard's Top 40 with that song. And right now there's a DVD that's been released with Stars live, and also there's a CD available too, all from GB Music, and you can kind of relive the 70s today in the 04s, or 05s, whatever year it is. I always lose track. How are you, Rich?
Very good. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
You guys out touring again, or?
Well, we did 7 shows in September. Of 04,
yeah.
And we picked up an agent, and we're going to be doing, supposedly we're going to be doing a tour with Angel.
Oh, really?
So you can relive the 70s with Angel and Stars.
What's it like now? I mean, you know, think back 30 years or 25 or whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And think back of what it was like then and what it's now. What is it? You're a lot older, obviously, now than you were then.
Yeah, that doesn't make, there's no difference there.
The energy level the same?
Yeah, everything's, we're all in good shape, everything's fine.
Yeah.
The difference is that we're just doing it for fun now, I guess. And not that we weren't having fun then, we were having a great time, but, you know, we had careers in mind there. And
yeah,
we were working hard and working towards a specific goal.
You guys were with Capitol Records,
uh-huh.
Which was a big deal. I mean, that was one of the record companies at that point.
Right.
And now you're with a smaller company. And again, you have a lot more freedom when you get your own thing that's going on a smaller label.
Yeah, we're not looking to do all that much new stuff. We're really just having fun playing.
You guys aren't writing anything new?
Yeah, we're writing some stuff that's new, but I don't know necessarily that we're going to record it and put it out. You know, it's kind of hard to market a rock group these days, unless. Well, it's just hard to market unless you're on a major label.
Mm. Well, I look at the internet as a great marketing tool, and I know that StarsCentral.com has a lot of the information that's going on about what the band's doing, and I know we're going to put a link to it from this interview to that. So,
great, thank you.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, when you're out there touring, people start getting into it and saying, hey, you know, how about some new stuff?
Yeah.
The DVD is kind of a nice thing.
Yeah, well, we did 2 DVDs, actually, one on our own label and one with Gary on GB Music, and both live shows from 2003, actually.
Mm.
And Ryko Disc is putting out 4 our old studio albums with bonus tracks next month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so all 4 albums will be out with I guess, bonus artwork and bonus tracks.
And Ryko just does a great job, too.
Yeah, they're a great repackaging or, what do you call it, reissuing label, yeah.
Now, I understand that the entire group is not there. One of you, unfortunately, is not with us anymore.
Right. Our bass player passed away in 1990.
Yeah. That must be a tough thing to go through for the whole group.
Is it tough?
No, I said that for the whole band, it must be a tough thing to deal with when you lose someone close.
Well, you know, it's just what it is. So, you know, when we decided we were going to get back together, obviously we had to find a new bass player. And we actually found someone who was a fan of the band, who was a bass player and just had it down, knew every note, probably better than us.
Yeah.
And he fit right in and made it a lot easier for us, you know.
It does make it easier if you don't have to skip a beat.
Yeah, it really does, because you don't want to be, like, teaching people stuff. And this guy just knew everything. We didn't have to really teach him anything. We had to reteach ourselves.
Right. I noticed that most of the songs that you guys have put out are collaborations pretty much with two, three, or even the whole band.
Right.
Yeah. Well, what is it like when you're writing a song? Do you guys hear a melody first or the lyrics? What is
it? Well, that happened only in a few rare occasions. Mostly it was done where we'd be in a rehearsal studio and just start riffing around on some pretty cool musical ideas, and everybody would throw something in there. We'd come up with a song, and Michael would be at the microphone just kind of scatting away there and eventually come up with the final lyrics. It was just, you know, it's kind of a weird hodgepodge. It's just like basically a big jam session.
Mm.
And then we'd come out of it with, you know, X amount of songs and throw some away and record the rest.
How long ago was it that the band actually broke up?
Well, in the early 80s, like around 82, 83 was the end. And then in 91, we got back together, slightly different lineup, and we did five new songs. We used Jack Douglas to produce, who's Aerosmith's producer and also our producer on our first two albums. And we did five new songs, and we put them out on our own label and put an album out called Requiem, because we thought we were done forever. At that point. But then we just got back together on a lark, kind of, you know, we were talking to each other and saying, let me get a little bit of fun, let's do a few shows, you know.
During that lull, the decade lull, did you do any writing on your own and maybe do some stuff solo? Were you into that at all? Were you doing
something
else? Yeah,
well, I put out a solo EP of original stuff, and then I put a band together called RRG, which stood for the Richie Rano Group, and we put one album out. And then recently I put... I have a band I call Richie Rallo's All Stars, and we did cover tunes and put an album out, and it came out actually pretty good. I think I sent one up to you guys.
No, don't have that one.
Okay.
The only thing we have here is The Stars Live. That's it.
Okay.
But I'd love to have it if you get a chance to send it out here. We'd love to listen to it.
Okay.
You know, but it's interesting to listen to this kind of music, and I love good hard rock, you know, that really rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that the question is, a lot of the bands I talked to who played a lot of the really hard rock out there, some of them didn't even want to be on the charts. Some of them didn't want to have Billboard hits. They thought it was selling out. What did you guys react to when Cherry Baby became a hit?
Well, we were under a lot of pressure from management and record companies to have hits. So
yeah.
It wasn't that kind of situation. Capitol was not a real good, back in the day they called it AOR, album-oriented rock.
Right.
So they weren't a good label like that, and they said the only way they could really market us was if we had hits. So basically in production we kind of tailored a few songs to just sound a little more radio-friendly.
Yeah.
Like Cherry Baby and Sing It, Shout It, and you know, they basically, if they couldn't get it to top 10, it was then it was their fault. So and they didn't get it to top 10, and Capitol just wasn't at that particular time a real good label, actually, as it turns out.
Capitol, was that the time that Steve Miller Band was on that label too?
Yeah, Steve Miller and Bob Seger were the big acts at that time, and the only songs that they really made it big on were really mellow songs, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we just weren't that mellow. I mean, you know, at our mellowest, that was Cherry Baby.
Yeah, because I'm thinking of like groups like Extreme. When I spoke with the guys over there, you know, one of the things they were talking about was More Than Words, which many people, that was their first taste of Extreme. And they said,
Well,
these guys are ballad guys, you know. And then they would hear them in concert and go, whoa!
Yeah, well, that song kind of ruined them and made them at the same time.
Yeah.
Cherry Baby wasn't that much of a departure from what we sounded like, but it was definitely more poppy then. But we kind of combined... You know, we combined melody with hard rock more so than the average hard rock group did.
Yeah, Cherry Baby was still a good rock song. It wasn't a ballad or anything.
Right, exactly.
Was there a temptation at all to write that kind of thing just to please the placate the record company?
Well, you know, we did write one kind of like that just because we wrote it, not because we were doing it for them. But on the third album, we did a song called Third Time's the Charm, and that should have been released as a single and should have been a top 10 ballad. But the record company was so stupid they never even released it as a single. But you know, just as well. I mean, whatever happened now. It's all. It's all retrospect, you know. We could look at it and make decisions now as to whose fault this was, or who did this, who did that. It doesn't even matter, I guess.
Back at the time, how was the deal you guys signed? A lot of people I talked to really signed rotten deals. You guys wrote all the songs, so royalties still coming in, and did you guys do okay with it?
Somebody stole our publishing, actually, about 25 years ago. And, you know, we've been looking into it ever since. It's really hard to get it back once they actually literally stole it. I think they should be charged with a crime, but I don't know. It seems like, you know, the lawmakers are kind of on the side of the people who steal publishing.
How was it someone in the record company that stole it, or?
Well, it was a record company, but it wasn't our record company. And it was real weird. It took us years to trace it down. We couldn't even figure out where the money was going, and... we know where it's going, and they don't want to give it back. And I have the original contracts that say that we own it. So I don't know how they got it. They say they bought it, but whoever they bought it from didn't have the right to sell it.
Wow, that's like, you know, moving into someone's house when you bought it from somebody that doesn't own it.
Yeah, but the other people are on vacation, so they don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That's unbelievable.
But it is.
You want to tell us who that is so we can kind of publicize the negative here?
Well, it's MCA Publishing who says they own it. And it was our former manager, Bill O'Coin, who sold it to them. But he didn't have the right to sell it because he didn't own it.
So are you getting a lawyer and looking into this thing?
You know, I just, only because the Ryko disc reissues are coming out in a few weeks, I just sent all the info off to a lawyer to ask him what he thinks we can do. And it's just not right. I mean, the albums have been reissued on Metal Blade, and then there's been live albums, and there's been... you know, tracks that have been licensed to various compilation albums and stuff, and
we
don't
see
a dime.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, even just the compilations alone, you got three of them in that released in 1 year. Two of them from Sony, one from Rhino.
Right, that's right.
I mean, it's amazing how many record companies you guys are on.
Yeah, and then Time Life had something out of Greatest Guitar Riffs. We're on one of those things.
Yeah,
and it's kind of weird. You know, we should be getting our money, and we're not.
Now, the stuff that you record yourself and you released on your own, pretty much you've kept those, the property of you, right?
Right. Well, that's true, yeah. But, you know, really, those old songs that keep coming out over and over.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting, though. I've been talking to a lot of people, obviously. We've had thousands of people on the show. And many of them said that to me that they didn't get anything from the originals, but that when they recut them on their own,
right,
they kept some of the money that came in from them because it was coming
right,
directly to them anyway.
Then, there's two types of royalties. That's artist royalties.
Mm-hmm.
We're giving the audience an education in the music business. But artist royalties, the record company that reissues it, they'll steal all that from you.
Right.
And so the only way you're going to get the artist royalties is if you redo the songs and put them out either on your own label or on a new label that's going to be fair to you.
Right.
And give you your cut, you know. The old labels have these, the original labels that have your stuff, they have this creative accounting thing that always says that they're losing money on you.
Of course, yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Yeah, because they have to turn around and give you some money if they actually make money, so that they never make money.
No, they never make money. I don't know how they stay in business this long.
It is amazing.
It's kind of like the baseball teams when you think about it, Major League Baseball.
The other thing, of course, is the publishing rights and the publishing royalties. That's a whole different story.
That's a separate issue, in which case I told you what happened there.
Right.
Yeah, pretty interesting.
It's interesting, but it's sad, because, you know something? I've never talked to a starving... business owner or a record label owner.
Right.
I talk to starving artists who are the ones who do all the grunt work, who put their thoughts and ideas on the line, possible ridicule, but when they work well, they get no credit for it.
Right. This is true. You kind of have to get as big as, say, Elton John to really get your full... he's not getting his full share, I'm sure, but I mean, to get a reasonable share.
And one of the companies he's dealing with is MCA, so...
Yeah, that's right.
Good luck to him.
Yeah, I think he's long gone out of there, though, right?
Yeah, I know he is, yeah, but some of his earlier stuff there is probably trapped in that hellhole.
Well, look at Prince.
Yeah.
You know, everybody laughed at Prince, and the press made fun of him. Of course, the press made fun of him because they were on the side of the record companies. But what he was saying was, I'm a slave to Warner Brothers. I don't even need this. I don't want that name anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You can keep the name. You know, because as big as Prince was, they were taking so much of his money.
Right.
You know, that he just felt like a slave, in a sense, you know. And he was making a statement, and people ridiculed him, and it kind of hurt his image. But you know what? His statement was exactly right on the money. It's just too bad it got lost in the confusion there.
The only thing I consider worse than stealing publishing rights, which they happen to you, is I talk to guys from the Drifters and the Coasters and all these different bands where the names are stolen, and there's people out there touring as
right.
the Coast. Has anybody tried that with stars yet?
No. No, that hasn't been done.
I mean, you know,
I like that. That's pretty funny.
I mean, that's unbelievable, though.
There's a group called The Byrds that's playing, you know,
right.
Roger McGuinn's band, and no one from The Byrds is in it, and Roger McGuinn is touring separately. How did that happen?
Yeah, that's because someone bought the name.
That's weird.
Yeah, I mean, the Coasters' name is owned by some guy in New York.
But I think all the Coasters are dead, no?
No, there's Carl Gardner's still alive.
How old is he?
He's probably in his 70s.
So he may be too old to be going out there anyway, but he doesn't even get a percentage.
He gets nothing. I've had him on the show quite a few times. He's a great guy. But,
wow.
I mean, all these guys were victims.
Yeah.
And what they do is they send out like 7 Coasters at once.
Oh, God, that's great.
So they got them touring on different parts of the country.
That's a great. You know, maybe we could do that with stars. Maybe each guy could branch off and start his own stars. We could tour in the East, the Midwest, you know what I mean, at the same time.
There
I like
you go.
That.
And, in fact, maybe you can add a ship to it and have even a new cult following, Starship, you know?
Very clever.
I mean, I the whole thing gets me really aggravated, and obviously, if you're in the music business, it must do that as well.
Really what it comes down to is you get aggravated, you get burned out, and then you kind of stop doing it for a while, and you know, in our case, we're back in it not to be in the music business, but just to be playing some music, and doing it for the right reasons, just have fun and forget about all the crap and all the people ripping you off. You know, when you go out and you do your gigs, you get your money, that's it. You know, you get some pay, you get some compensation at least, and you have a lot of fun doing it.
Now, are you married or happy?
Am I married or happy? Is that what you asked me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm married.
And do you have any children?
Yeah, I have 2 older kids and I have 2 babies, like a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old.
Any of the kids showing musical?
Well, the 2 babies are, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're really like
that. They got that rattle moving at the right side.
Oh, my God. Well, my wife also sings.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and she teaches music to pre-K kids. That's her job.
Oh, okay.
So she's been doing that and taking the kids with her class sometimes. And so they got music from both sides, and they're really, like, they just sit there and bang on little drums, and they're very musical. They sing and everything.
What about your older ones?
My oldest one's a drummer, but not a professional drummer.
Uh-huh.
And the one younger than him likes music but doesn't play anything.
I always wondered about that because many of the artists I talk to, their kids are artists in one way or another, too. Some of them are artists with a pen or
right.
or with a canvas,
yes.
and some with music. But there's always that gene, that creative
it's
gene.
It's definitely genetic. I had 2 grandfathers that were both professional musicians, and one was a sax player and one was a mandolin player. And I really think that I just felt like, as a kid, I just felt like I had to do it. It was calling to me. It's the only way I could explain it.
Mm.
And I had to play. I learned how to play guitar in like just a few months. I was playing in bands, and it just came very natural to me.
My dad was a radio guy, so
there you go. Is it your genes?
It could be.
It definitely is. Yeah.
My genes say on them, Calvin Klein, but I believe that there's something to the other theory.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I had Calvin Klein's actual genes. You know, that would be a good thing. That would be a good thing to inherit. You know what I mean?
Or guest genes.
Yeah, that would be good. So the DVD is called Back in Action.
Right.
The one that was just released.
Yep.
Now you said you have your own out, so they can go to starscentral.com and pick that up too as well, right?
Right. There's a whole bunch of stuff online on our site, Star Central. Yeah.
And I don't have any of them, so I can't talk about them.
Yeah.
Which is kind of stinky when I'm doing these things. You know.
Well, there's live CDs. There's all kinds of stuff. In fact, we did a 24-track live when we played Cleveland in September. We recorded it to a 24-track board and everything, and it's digitally recorded, and we're sitting on that waiting. I think in about a month we're going to go in and start mixing it.
Wow.
And that should be good. That should come out. I've heard like just rough mixes that they did first just so we could get an idea what it sounded like. It sounded really good. So that hopefully will come out, you know, in the spring.
And
hopefully we'll get a lot of these shows with Angel and Stars together. And there's also a possibility of Angel and Stars playing with April Wine and Zebra. That's another tour that they were offering.
Oh, wow.
So, like, that's a four-band thing, I guess, you know, that That could be a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, no, when you guys, like when you tour with Angel, will you play some stuff with them as well?
No, I don't think the groups will jam together. It's not that kind of Allman Brothers kind of thing.
No, the last song, they would come out and do some song together. That would be kind
of
cool.
I wouldn't mind. I played on two songs of a Cheap Trick tribute that came out a few years back, and Frank from Angel sang On Top of the World, and I played guitar. And we had a few other pretty cool people on there, and it was great, but Frank's got a great voice, great singer.
Hmm. Well, we can look forward to that, and we'll go down to starcentral.com and find out the schedule, and folks, you can check out the music. You can also go to gbmusic.com as well for the stuff that GB Music put out. And I want to wish you a lot of luck, and continue having fun. That's really the bottom line.
It really is, because you can't get the money anyway.
Exactly.
All right. Thanks, Mark. It's been
Take
a pleasure.
Care. Bye-bye.
Take care.